Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
That's right. And we're joined today by regular guest, the wonderful Nurse Jessie. Hello, Nurse Jessie.
Hello, Ellie. Hello, Helen.
I'm disappointed you haven't worn your special nurse's hat today.
I haven't got one.
Well, certainly not one that you use outside the bedroom. Good. So anyway, it's lovely to have you with us. Now, today we're going to be talking about quite a serious issue, and that issue is discipline.
Discipline.
That's right. That was me smacking Nurse Jessie around the face. So do you know lots about discipline? Good. I'm glad we invited you along.
This is the bit when you talk, Jessie. Yeah. Remember?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out over the course of the next 48 minutes. And today's quite a special podcast because actually it's a brunch cast, isn't it, Helen?
It is. Look, we're in daylight.
I know.
And instead of drinking white wine, we're drinking Buck's Fizz. Because that's an AM alcohol.
That's right. Because it's okay to drink champagne at 11 o'clock in the morning.
It is, absolutely. Join us, dear listeners, if you're on your commute or at home with your children.
Yeah. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah,
as Alan Jackson, one of my favourite country music singers, once sang. Yeah, we're having a brunch cast because Helen is off to Australia, so this was the only time we could fit it in before your holiday. That's it.
This time tomorrow, I'll be on a Singapore Airlines flight to Australia, and hopefully this time we won't wee all over the seats like we did last time.
That's the dream. So we have a big thank you to say first of all, don't we, Helen?
We do. Thank you everyone who came to our live show in London. And it was a sellout again.
A sellout success.
We had about 90 people at both shows. Big crowds, big laughs.
Yeah, at least 4 people laughing almost constantly.
Thank you, Ellie's dad.
Yeah.
For coming both times.
No, it was brilliant. We had a really great time and we got some fantastic Scummy Mummy confessions from the audience, and we're going to be reading some of those out later on.
That's it, and we will keep them anonymous, obviously, because they haven't agreed to us saying them.
As soon as we turn the recording off, we'll talk about who it actually was. Jessie, you came to see the live show, didn't you?
It was brilliant. It was very, very funny.
Oh,
thank you. Correct.
Marks out 5.
5.
6.
6.
Thank you. Thank you. There she is. So, yeah, we are doing another show, of course. We're doing a show at the Brighton Fringe.
We are, and you can go get tickets at the brightonfringe.co.uk website and do a little Google Scummy Mummies, but we'll put all that up on the website.
Yeah.
And we're on there May 10th, 11th and 26th.
Yeah, so that's a Saturday, Sunday, a bank holiday Monday, and it's 1 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nice for the child. Just shove the children at the husband or the wife and come along. So, to kick us off, Helen, shall we do some current affairs?
Current affairs. We haven't done current affairs for a while.
I know, but there's, you know.
Okay, so we've been reading The Guardian again, haven't we, Ellie?
The Guardian? What's
crazy
that?
Crazy talk.
Yeah.
Someone forced me to read it because, you know, I'm not one for news.
Can't read.
No, not in this country. Font's too small. So, anyway, there was a wonderful article in The Guardian about everyone's favourite recording artist, Lily Allen. And she's come out and said, children are boring.
Well, babies specifically.
Babies. She's got a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Yeah, babies are boring, children are annoying. I think that's how it works.
Teenagers are assholes. That's the scale. But, yeah, so she's got a 1- and a 2-year-old, and before she had kids, and I wish I'd actually got the quote, she was like, oh, I just want to go to the Cotswolds and be a mum, and it's all lovely. And then she realised it wasn't.
Yeah, and funny that.
Yeah, so now she's a glamorous pop star again.
Well, there you go. I mean, what do you think, Nurse Jessie? Are your babies very boring?
Is it true?
Well, I don't think babies are boring, but I think it can be very isolating, especially if you decide to move from all your friends and family support and live in the middle of the country. Mm. But I guess a lot of people think babies don't really communicate because they don't talk. Mm. And that can be quite boring. And being responsible for a tiny thing that, you know, wheeze, poos, cries, feeds constantly, it can be pretty knackering.
And it's one thing having a husband, then when you have a baby, that workload is doubled. You know, that's the real nightmare. That's where it really begins.
Trying to understand their grunts and moans is very difficult.
Yeah, I suppose I didn't find having a baby that boring. But then, like you say, I had quite a strong support network of friends. And in London, there's loads of places you can go and take babies. There's endless baby groups and yoga. Mm. And
I guess it's, what was your expectation of it? What did you think it was going to be like?
Yeah, I think that's when you get disappointed, is that if you feel that it's all going to be lovely and wonderful. And then when reality hits, that's when you're going to be bored.
Have you seen the film Look Who's Talking?
Oh.
That's what I thought it would be. I thought I'd have a baby and it would be basically like having a little mini Bruce Willis.
That's that.
When in fact it was more like three men and a baby. You know, the beginning montage where it's just a real nightmare and it pees on everything. It's like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so Nurse Jessie, what can you do? Because you aren't just a nurse, you are a health visitor as well. So have you dealt with lots of women who are just bored?
I guess it's hard. If you're a health visitor, you're not really going to tell your health visitor that you're bored of your baby. Mm-hmm. Necessarily, but
just the Guardian.
But you're just bored of the Guardian.
God, tell me about it.
But I guess, yeah, I mean, women will talk to health visitors about how they're feeling and say how isolated they feel, how fed up, how different it was to what they perceived it was going to be like. And I guess it's talking to someone, finding other like-minded people to chat to, moan, eat tea, biscuits, drink wine, mm-hmm. whatever that may be.
Lager. Mm. Yeah. How did you find it, Helen?
Well, yeah, I guess I was so dead keen to be a mum, and my mum was a childminder, so I'd been around babies a lot growing up. But yeah, I think it was the first 6 months, which I think I was in a bit of a daze, but I think it was after 6 months that I found it really hard, and Matilda just screamed and she wouldn't go to sleep. And that transition was really hard, from going out and drinking and having a great time to not even be able to have a hot cup of tea and put anything down. I think that's what I found very, very hard. That why wouldn't this baby fit into my way? But I think the second time round, I kind of let that go.
Yeah.
And I think that's that thing. And if you are someone like Lily Allen or anybody with a job or a life, then that change is going to be immense. And it's whether you're able to let that go and be okay with it for a little while as well.
And hers are very close together as well.
Yeah.
You know, she's got, you know, two very young dependent children, and that isn't always easy.
And that's not a party.
It's a certain type of party.
Yeah. Call me a minicab at midnight.
But, you know, I had a kind of group of people who I met when my either antenatal class or when my baby was really young, eldest was really young, and we would drink coffee and tea and chat and walk around the park, and that did help. Having someone else to chat to made a difference, definitely.
Yeah.
But I guess also picking up how is your baby communicating? How can you tell when they're tired, when they're hungry, when they're bored? What is it that they're trying to tell you? That can help as well, because if you've got an idea of what's going on for them, it makes it easier for you to be able to make that routine that fits into all your lives and give you that time where you can just sit down and put your feet up for 5 minutes.
In the Guardian article about the Lily Allen quote, there's mention of a thing called Roots of Empathy, which... Isn't that something to do with you? Didn't you do that?
Wasn't that a ladies' band?
Yeah.
Roots of Empathy.
Yeah. I think they were a spit off from Savage Garden.
Yes. Well, they're not an 80s band, I'm afraid.
Damn it.
It's a Canadian programme, which is going into schools.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of starts right up from little... 4 or 5 year olds right up to secondary. They've got different curriculums for different ages.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is it's trying to teach emotional literacy. And the way they do that is they take a parent and a baby, and the baby has to be quite young at the start of the school year.
Yeah.
And you go in every week, but the mum and the baby, or the dad and the baby, go in every month, and the class talk about what is the baby doing, how is the baby developing. There is, yeah, you are encouraged to change your baby's nappy while you're in the classroom.
Oh, nice.
So, because sometimes some of these kids might not have younger siblings, they might not have seen that. And the idea is it's showing the power of parenting, showing that attachment relationship between the parent and the baby. And so that the children can kind of take the perspective of the baby, see how the baby's feeling, and then use that to talk about their own emotions. So there's been lots of research done about its effectiveness, and it shows that it's really good at improving that emotional literacy and reducing bullying in schools in particular. And yeah, I did it in my daughter's school. I went to a year four class and went in with a baby and a parent over a year. And we talked about lots of different things, but it was really interesting how they perceived this baby, because even those that had younger brothers and sisters, one of them said, I never really thought about how my baby brother was feeling until you came in and we watched baby Zoe.
Oh, wow.
And just the idea that, you know, even though she wasn't able to talk, she was telling you how you were feeling because of her expressions, her temperament, what she was doing on
little
the
signs Charlie used to little post-its used to leave me around the house. More chocolate.
Exactly.
No, I think they do. That's very Canadian, though, isn't it? Canada is the Scandinavia of North America.
It is very Canadian.
Something about people being cold and nice. I don't know. Yeah. I know. That's my new thesis.
Scotland as well. It's the same.
Yeah. Actually, they took it to America, and then they took it to New Zealand, and it might be used in Australia as well. Mm-hmm. They've been using it in Germany, Scotland, Ireland. It's only recently started in the UK. But
is that because of the Tories? I just want to get the Tories. Say it's because of the Tories.
What, that it's only just come to this country?
Yeah. Tories. Oh.
Well, the reason that it is being delivered in England now is because the National Lottery Fund have paid for it, basically.
Oh.
So thank you, ticket holders.
Once again, we're having to pay. I'm just gearing up for the election. Can you imagine? It's going to be so much fun.
So do you think now, because people, you know, are much more closed off in society, you know, in the olden days you'd all live in a village and babies would be passed around and you'd have those understandings, so you're kind of recreating that environment where people have a much more understanding of people's feelings because they're, you've got a baby coming into their world.
And I guess, and also that it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
Because I think that's another thing that a lot of people find really hard. They feel that they should be able to do this all by themselves and be self-sufficient and do everything and be super mum. Mm. And actually going, no, I'm fed up, I want a chat and a cup of tea, is completely normal.
And also the lies. I was so surprised becoming a parent. Is people lie. There's a bravado, there's a status. And I think, you know, Facebook and other forms of social media where you do feel like your life is on show, you know, my baby's hit this milestone or whatever, that you feel much pressure about how you should feel or what the ideas of motherhood are and look like.
Yeah, and how you should be having this perfect life.
Yeah, the Bowden child, the JoJo mama baby, Wellington boots, autumn leaves. I'm talking I'll just drink some more Buck's Fizz.
Doing a poem. A little haiku. Yeah, very nice. Good. I think what have we done, Helen?
We've cracked that nut,
Lily. Cracked that nut. Sorry, there was one more thing. I was going to say, how can we make, have we got any tips for how we can make looking after a baby more interesting? For example, sometimes on a rainy Wednesday afternoon when I was with my little boy and when he was a baby, if I was a bit bored, I would put different wigs and hats on him and take pictures. Now...
That's not lying, is it, Ellie?
That's true.
And it's not at all child abuse.
Isn't it? Do I sound disappointed? Would you recommend that, Jessie?
Well, I think there's loads of brilliant baby grows.
Well, outfits are amazing. Yeah.
Well, people have their, you know, their Superman baby grows and their, you know, people will choose baby grows because they're funny. Yeah. You know, a baby doesn't care what they're wearing when they're 6 months old. So it is for the parents' benefit, really.
Yeah, excellent.
He particularly liked a long red wig I had. It was very Farrah Fawcett.
Ariel, the mermaid.
Honestly, I tell you, stick one of those on a 9-month old baby, you will wet yourself for an hour. It's hilarious.
That gets you through wigs. It's always your go-to, Ellie.
Absolutely,
I've found
frightens off any party. What about you, Helen? Have you got any tips?
We like a silly dance in our house, like putting on a bit of Katy Perry or whatever. And, yeah, I think that's got us through for both me and my husband and the children, a bit of group dance for a bit of light relief and a diorama.
What's a diorama?
Get a box.
I think Charlie had that last week and it was terrible. I had to change the sheets 3 times.
Getting a box and cutting it out and then painting the inside and then putting different toys and making a story. So you get a big box, like a fruit box or something. You cut it out and then you like paint a scene and then you do like a little mini
puppet show.
Or you, what I did, because we just watched so many DVDs, is we'd recreate Nemo.
Oh, that's nice.
That sounds a bit too middle class. I should have said, no, I just drank alcohol and myself. You know,
that was funny. Not before bedtime. Jessie, have you got any tips?
I used to sing. I'd have songs for every part of our routine. So we'd have a feeding song and a changing nappy song. So that would just get me through the...
Yeah, I did used to sing David Bowie's Changes when I did his nappy. Quite like that. Songs is a good tip.
Especially when they're throwing food at you. I found having a song to like...
Not go insane.
Yeah, not go crazy at mealtimes was useful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's good.
I find just talking in a high-pitched voice makes me not want to kill myself. Like, okay, so you're going to poo on the floor now and throw sand in my hair. Okay. That for me just gets me through.
Good. Well, have we cracked that nut?
I think fully cracked. Ooh.
Then that means we can play our first game, which I'm very excited about. Now, I've called this game Let's Punish Jessie.
I'm so looking forward to this.
Yeah, because you volunteered your time away from your family for us to hurt you. Very nice.
So, the subtitle of this game is actually Revenge is Sweet. Now, I'll explain. It's very exciting. Now, so basically, because this theme of this episode is all about discipline, I thought I'd use that as an excuse to punish Jessie, who I've known all my life, for crimes she committed against me over the course of our 36-year friendship.
Right, you're really getting over this, aren't you?
Yeah,
really?
I'm totally moving on. I'm totally moving forward. And this is how I'm going to punish you, Jessie. You're in the dock. I'm the judge and jury. Helen is the executioner.
Oh, thank you.
Now, we've got these sweets left over from a few months ago. We had Dr. Greg from Australia on the podcast, and Helen made me eat some revolting Australian sweets.
They are not revolting.
Well, let's find out.
They're very nice.
Like horrendous.
They are not. They're nice.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is... I'm going to tell you what you did to me.
Oh, my God.
Helen's going to pick the punishment. She's going to pick the sweet, and you have to eat the sweet while apologising for the crime.
I'm not even going to remember anything.
Doesn't matter. Right. Okay. Crime number one. Nurse Jessie. In 1982, you and I were massive fans of the film of the musical Annie.
That's true.
Yes, it is true. You always insisted that when we played Annie and did Hard Knock Life and so forth, you got to be Annie... And I had to be Molly simply because you had red hair and I had brown hair.
And you were younger than me.
That is racism.
That's...
So, Helen, what punishment are you going to select for Jessie?
It's a hard knock life. What, I reckon...
For you.
All right. I think you might have to eat a giant Jazzy for that.
She's having a jazz
because of the jazz hands.
Oh, that's good.
So here we go. You'll have to eat that. It's very...
Do you want to describe the jazzy for the listeners?
So it's about the size of your palm.
Eat it, Jessie.
It's chocolate and it's covered in hundreds and thousands.
Eat it.
Isn't it nice?
It looks like a sort of multicoloured blister.
That's a bit sickly.
Right, Jessie, what have you got to say for yourself? Come on.
I am sorry that I always made you be Molly.
Right, good. I feel a little bit better. Right.
So next episode we'll be recreating.
That's right. Crime number two. In 1986, Jessie, the wedding of Sarah Ferguson and Prince Andrew.
Sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jessie and I recreated the wedding with a musical number, again, that we played on the bongos. I think we made your little sister Rachel and my little brother Harry beat all the other members of the royal family and the entire congregation in Westminster Abbey. So we recreated the wedding of Andrew and Sarah. And again, you got to be Sarah Ferguson because you have red hair. And because I have brown hair, I had to be Prince Andrew. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Helen, right. Dish out the punishment.
Okay, well, I think for this, it's for a royal occasion, we're going to have the cherry rind.
Oh, this is my least favourite, yeah.
The cherry rind, because clearly Fergie would have popped her cherry that night. They weren't f***ing before that, because they're royals. In the 80s. So eat the cherry ripe, Jessie, in order.
It's so nice.
Just looking at it.
Yeah, it's a delicacy. Oh. It's yummy.
It looks like worm medicine.
It's shut up. Mochino cherries and coconut blended together.
Coconut. That's what it is. It tastes like a bounty bar gone wrong.
For all the Australian listeners out there, you understand. These imbeciles are eating our national heritage.
Jessie, come on, what have we got to say?
I'm sorry, I always made you be Prince Andrew.
Well, so do you feel better, Ellie? Like, do you feel like you can move on now?
Yeah, a little bit. How do you feel, Jessie? Do you feel a bit sick?
A little bit.
Hooray! What a great game.
No, I know.
That was so much fun.
It's like a modern-day Tolstoy, isn't it, really?
It is, yeah. Well, I enjoyed that game, so that's the main thing.
Yeah. I'm glad for you.
I feel like I can move on. That saved me 5 years of therapy. Thanks very much.
Great.
Right, what's next, Helen?
Well, we're going to crack the nut of discipline. That's why we've got you here. So I guess from the get-go, when we think about discipline, we think about punishment. The Scummy Mummies and Jessie, we don't smack, but does it work anyway?
Firstly, it tells your child it's okay to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're to say that it's not okay to hit another adult, why are we saying it's okay to hit another child?
Mm-hmm.
It's also that it's showing that that's an acceptable way to manage those really strong emotions. And we really want to show our children that there are other ways to deal with that. They found that children who were hit as children may be more likely to hit or bully others, or they might be more likely to lie to avoid being smacked. And another one is that it can make defiant behaviour worse, so then it's more difficult to actually discipline them. And they found that sometimes children who are smacked, there's sort of an escalation of the physical discipline that's needed to manage behaviour. Mm. I know people will discuss this till the cows come home, and other people will have their own ways that they choose to.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Manage it.
We're going to talk about, if you're not going to smack, what are the other kind of methods of discipline open to you?
I guess it kind of comes to, what kind of parent are you? And
tired.
What's going on when it's happening?
Inconsistent. That would be my label.
I guess you can be that, you know, it's about changing a behaviour that's really negative. It's a battle. You need strict rules. Mm-hmm. You need to use punishment as a way to discipline. Or you could go for that, I'm tired, I want a quiet life. You can do whatever you like if you just shut up. Or you can do
that. I can't
that.
Identify with that at all.
That's why Charlie's out now driving my car round and round the block.
While watching the iPad and eating Smarties.
Or you can go down there, I love my kids, but I can't let them have what they want all the time. And so you want to have clear, consistent boundaries. And I don't think you can be one of those things all of the time. Like, everyone changes, and there are times where you might be more one than another, and that's okay. It's kind of ideal to be consistent all the time, but it isn't necessarily very realistic.
Mm. No, I have a swinging pendulum of guilt. So sometimes the guilt pendulum swings back and I go, right, we're only eating really nice food today and we're doing it at the dinner table and I'm going to wait. And then the next day I've got a gig, so they have pizza in front of the telly while I ignore them and put my makeup on. Exactly. And then it swings back again because I haven't spent time with them, and then we have pizza at the dinner table. So, yeah, I find my, yeah, that is really inconsistent. So I feel, again, guilty about that, that I'm not doing the right things all the time. But they, you know, they seem to be having a really nice time most of the time.
Well, that what's important to you, Helen?
What's important to me?
What's important to you?
Oh.
I mean, I don't know. I think if a child is showing behaviour you don't like, it's worth working out what is going on for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite like this idea of ABC, which is A is for antecedent, which is what's happening before
mm-hmm.
they do that thing.
Yeah.
And then B is the behaviour and C is what, how...
It's for what you call them.
What you eat afterwards, yes.
Consequent.
Consequent. Right, yeah,
that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
The C word that we use.
You little consequence.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess what do you do afterwards? How do you manage it? And actually, if you look at those three things, you can usually see that there's probably a pattern.
Mm.
It might be that they're tired. It might be that they're hungry. It might be that their language means that they can't express themselves. It's their way of relieving tension. Mm-hmm. Or it might just be that they think it's really funny. Yeah. They're getting attention for it.
Mm.
Yeah, so the big problem I'm having with Charlie at the moment, so Charlie's three in June and his big is hitting. I let a lot of stuff go because it's one thing, well, is it the end of the world if you draw on that thing that I can wipe clean? No, it's not. Well, whatever. Mm. You know, but if he's physically hurting other children, for me, that's where the line is, like, because he just can't do that. And I don't know how to deal with that.
So, yeah, I mean, you've said it seems to come from nowhere. What is he getting as a consequence of that behaviour?
So I pick him up and remove him from the other child, usually, and take him in the other room and talk to him and say, no hitting, don't do that, you know.
So do you think it's him getting attention?
Yes, I suppose maybe it's him, but then I don't see what the alternatives are. The alternative is to ignore the behaviour, in which case he'll carry on hitting the other child, which is obviously no good for the other child. Or to give him attention all the time, which I just can't.
It's not realistic.
Yeah. Mm.
Or can you use something like time out?
Well, I've tried the naughty step, putting on the naughty step, but he often just gets up and, you know, runs in. And I've tried putting him in his room for time out. You know, do you think naughty step and time out, do you think those things work?
I don't know. I see them as two different things.
Right.
Because naughty step is more of a punishment, whereas time out is like a cooling down time. So it's a time where they might be overwhelmed or they're stressed for some reason, and or you're feeling stressed, and it's about giving yourself a bit of space to settle down and work out why they're doing what they're doing. But and depending on the age of the child, a lot of people say it doesn't really work that well in children under three.
Right, okay.
And some people say you shouldn't actually put them in a room and shut the door. You should put them in a safe but boring space. And be around.
Like a cupboard.
The boot of a car.
The dishwasher. On, off. Yeah.
Cold rinse, obs. Jessie's actually making a face. Okay,
sorry.
She's going to call the police.
It's all a joke.
Just a joke.
Anyway, a quiet, boring space. Be near them, but don't give them attention. So some people have these like toys, like, you know, the rattles, like the rain sounding rattles.
Oh yeah.
Do you mean like a
that those kind of bead things? That can be quite a good one because it's giving them something to play with, but it's quite calming. It's not as full on, and that it might be useful to have something that helps them settle down.
But again, is that not rewarding the behavior? Is that not saying, well, if you hit Billy, then you get the special toys to play with?
Well, it can be. And there's a big debate around children with autism and how to manage challenging behaviour there. And there's this sort of way of approaching it called applied behaviour analysis, ABA. And a lot of schools are beginning to use it. And it is about this. If you play nicely, we'll give you your Nintendo to play with for 5 minutes or your iPad or whatever. And if your behaviour is undesirable, then you don't get this nice thing.
Right.
But the reason why it's so particularly contentious is that they used to use what they called aversives. So they'd actually give electric shocks for... this is way back. This is kind of going back into the 70s. This is in America.
Yikes.
But, yeah. So they've actually got rid of that, thank goodness. But
yeah, because we're doing torture and... I mean, sorry, not torture. We're doing discipline and punishment, not torture. That's, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
good. Absolutely. Yeah. But the idea is that they will still use, they might use aversives, but not actually physically harmful ones. So it would be removing a child. It depends on your child what is going to work. Are they going to sit on a step calmly, or are they going to scream and kick and hurt themselves and someone else?
The latter.
So is it useful to give them something that isn't your attention, but is kind of there to calm them down? A helpful tool. It's not going to work for everybody because all kids are different, so but is it worth a go, I guess.
So sort of generally, is it better, what about bribery, is it better to promise a treat or to threaten a punishment?
Most psychologists will say it's about rewarding positive behavior. So if you are bribing them with positives, it kind of depends what the positive is. You can use your nice pretty star charts, but it's not really recommended to use food as a reward.
Right.
Saying that, I know when I was potty training my youngest, I kind of missed the boat when she was ready because we were going away and work and blah blah blah, and then she was completely reluctant and we tried every star chart in the world and she was ignoring it, and we resorted to Smarties. And it took about 2 days.
Yeah.
Wee was all the colours of the rainbow. That's the beauty of it.
So,
because I know different friends have got different techniques in terms of, if you do that, we're going to take your toys away for a day, or all those kind of things. Is that a bad thing to kind of threaten their environment, or, you know, what's... Is that all right to say you're not going to have this, or...
I guess, does it work? I mean, you can do the choices and consequences. I certainly think with older children, they get that concept.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do this thing, then this other thing's going to happen.
But yeah.
I think two-year-olds don't get that. They don't understand the consequences. No. So it depends on the age of your child and the development of your child, what will work for them, really. Mm. I think, yeah, that taking things away thing can be... really, really useful. And I know we're tidying up now, and if I see anything on the floor, it's going in the bin.
God, my whole house would be full of my kids' toys. Very, very bad at picking their toys up.
So just going back to the naughty set for a minute. Now, someone told me once that you shouldn't even say the word naughty, that if you call a child naughty or say you're being naughty or why are you so naughty today, that is labelling them and basically making them, they'll go all mental. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't know that you can.
Jessie, I thought you knew everything there is to know about parenting.
God's Nobody sake. Knows everything there is about parenting. You're all just muddling through, really.
Super nanny.
You know that sometimes children will want to be naughty. There's like, there are That's days exciting. Where they wake up and it's fun and they want to misbehave. But you know, if you have a baby, how could, like, can a baby even know what naughty is? I don't know. My daughter used to bite, and it started when she was teething, and it was when I was still feeding her, and she thought it was hilarious that I screamed.
It was pretty funny though. You screaming is pretty funny. I can see, you know.
you kind of get off on torturing me.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Well, I've got, I've got a lot of baggage from the 80s I need to work through.
You will be any one day, Ellie, you will.
Yeah. I did also used to encourage Megan, do you remember? She used to make a face where she used to just go, and screw up her face like Worf from Star Trek. And you hate it, and I used to encourage her to do it all the time. It's good fun.
Good old Auntie Ellie.
Yeah, but do you call your kids naughty if they're being naughty?
No.
No.
I might say that a specific behaviour is naughty, but I wouldn't say that they are naughty.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
How about shouting? Is that really bad if we shout? How can we stop ourselves from doing it? Sorry, that's two questions in one.
Okay. I think there are very few parents that don't ever shout.
What? What are you talking about? Sorry?
I prefer to call it very loud talking. which I'm very good at.
I think I'm less likely to shout if I'm not stressed.
Yeah. When's that?
When I'm not having to get them to school in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Put your shoes on. Put your shoes on! Get here!
Shouting can, like, it's a sign that you're out of control.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And that's scary for kids.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not ideal, but we're not perfect.
Mm. Oh, well, that's discipline. Have you got any final discipline thoughts, Jessie?
There was one more thing, which is especially toddlers and often boys, they really need that rough and tumble play. And sometimes some of that hitting, some of that sort of testosterone, they have a bit of a surge of testosterone at about the age of 3, and they need a way of relieving it. Mm. So giving them the opportunity to do that is quite important.
Oh, well, good. Thank you, Jessie. That was, like, relatively, that was a very informative and intelligent discussion.
Thank you.
On your part.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And should we break things up a bit by playing another stupid game?
Oh.
All right. This game is based on...
I've just seen her get out a lipstick.
Jessie's seen the lipstick. So this game, it's based on a game that was invented by two of my favourite comedians, Garfunkel and Oates. They're American female comedy duo, and they're very funny. And they play this game called Kanye or Hitler, where they go to a stand-up club. Right, Jessie's looking so unwell.
Can I just eat the rest of the cherry rye?
God, please. I can't bear to look at it.
Yeah. Yum.
Yeah, so what they do is they read out quotes and then they ask the audience to guess whether the quotes are from Kanye West or from Hitler. So I've obviously stolen that idea. But our version is called Madonna or Mandela. Because Jessie and I were big fans of Madonna growing up, weren't we?
We were.
So what's going to happen is Helen and I are going to read you some quotes. You have to say whether they were by Madonna or Nelson Mandela. And every time you get wrong, I am going to draw an X on your face with a bright red lipstick. What do you think?
Can't wait.
Correct.
Excellent. All right. Helen, would you like to read out the first one?
Okay. Poor is the man whose pleasure depends on the permission of another.
Madonna or Mandela?
Mandela.
That was Madonna. A flying start. Here we go. There's a big... lovely big X on the cheek there. X for wrong. Okay.
Okay. Better to live 1 year as a tiger than 100 as a sheep.
That's Madonna.
Let me see. That is Madonna. Madonna. Congratulations.
She's like Confucius.
I am because we are. We all bleed the same colour. Jesse, that's a really moving quote.
About periods.
Madonna.
That is Madonna. Oh,
she's
annoying.
Too good. The only when I'm dancing, I can feel this free.
Definitely Mandela.
No! It's Madonna. There we are.
I had to let you get away with one, didn't I?
Oh, don't dumb yourself down. Come on, feminist.
We all need to treat each other with human dignity and respect.
Mandela.
No, that's Madonna.
Oh.
Oh, no, I've broken the lipstick.
Oh, no.
Oh, see.
Oh, we'll have to make you eat it instead or something. There we are.
I'm tough, I'm ambitious, and I know exactly what I want. If that makes me a bitch, okay.
That's Madonna.
I'm not sure. Borderline, but yeah.
Speaking of which, yeah.
Okay, last one. Gay icons usually have some tragedy in their lives, but I've only had tragic haircuts.
That's Madonna.
No, incorrect. That was a trick question. It's Kylie Minogue. That means I can cover your face with lipstick. Yeah. Now we'll take a photo of that for the podcast episode. Oh, you look lovely, Jessie. How do you feel?
Jessie's
wonderful. Wonderful. I know I need a wig.
How can I find a woman like that?
Oh.
Okay, everyone, now we're moving on to our favourite section, which is the Scummy Mummy's Confessions. And I'd also like to have a bit of a drinks update. We started on the Bucks Fizz because it is the brunch cast, Ellie.
It is a Sunday, yeah.
So we've had the light orange Bucks Fizz juice, and now we've moved on to a coffee martini.
It's espresso martini.
Espresso martini.
Yes, that's right. It is originally from Ireland.
I practiced that all week, you bastard. Anyway. So authentico.
Practice some more. So, yes. So, Scummy. Now, we've actually got a bit of a Scummy Mummy Confession special for you this week, because in our live show, which we are doing, I don't know if we mentioned, in Brighton on the 10th, the 11th and the 26th of May, what we do is we get the audience to write down their Scummy Mummy Confessions, and then we read the best ones out, and there's a prize, and it's all very jolly. And we had so many good ones at our London show that we didn't have time to read them all out on the stage. So we've actually saved them, and we're going to share some of the very best audience confessions with you now.
Yeah. Right. Should we tell them the ones that won in the show?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
So the first one on the 27th of March, the woman who won had sucked snot out of her baby's nose with her own mouth.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So she won a nice bottle of Carver. And then on the second show, the woman who won had let her 2-year-old son, by accident, watch Russian porn on YouTube.
Oh,
very nice.
That's nice.
That gives you the kind of picture of who comes to our show.
Yeah, yeah. There was nearly a tie, wasn't there, with the first one. It was someone who'd let their child eat a dog biscuit, I think, yeah. Which I thought that was a winner, yeah, myself, yeah. But there you are, democracy.
Snot, Trump's,
will out.
Dog biscuits. So yeah. There you go.
So these are. So we've got some more to share with you now. So, Jessie,
My daughter pooed in the potty downstairs. I went upstairs for a bit, and when I came back, the dog had helpfully eaten the entire contents, and the potty was spotless.
Delish.
Oh, lovely. I'm gonna get a dog. That would be a good bargaining chip for Pete. Okay, here's one. Letting my kids cut each other's hair while we finish the wine. And she's written, it was a Sunday afternoon, and she signed it Anon, brackets, Camberwell. And then she's just written, how truthful before you call NSPCC. It's too late to ask me that,
I think,
friend.
I might know who that person is. Okay. My son fished a cat poo out of the litter tray and took a bite out of it, vomited, I laughed, and then I told him he shouldn't have done it.
Life lesson.
Okay, this one is, my son seems to have developed the habit of weeing in glasses and cups in an emergency, in brackets. Unfortunately, one day, Granddad drank his wee, thinking it was Foster's.
Oh, yeah, I think I know who that one is, actually. I think I know that one is. Taking son to hairdressers, knowing he had nits, hoping they'd cut them out. Oh,
my friend ate the raisin left on the floor by her child. Needless to say, it was not a raisin.
My mum asked my son what he does at school all day. He said, I just play all day, then I go home and have a bottle of wine. Oh, that's great.
Oh, those were fantastic. So, yeah, so just think, you know, that is the quality of the Scummy Mummy Confession we get at the live show. So please do come along, join us in Brighton, and, yeah.
And, you know, absolve yourself from your sins?
That's it. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
And absorb other people's. That's what happens. So please keep sending your Scummy Mummy Confessions to the podcast. If you can't make the live show, do send them in. It's scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com. Or you can send us a message on the Facebook. It's facebook.com/scummymummiespodcast.
And Twitter @scummymummies.
Yeah.
We love hearing your tweets. And I just want to say, yes, it was us on Radio 4.
Who, us?
Us, yeah.
Radio 4? Yeah. With Fee Glover?
That's right. If you were just accidentally listening to Radio 4 on Saturday night, the 7th of April, what date were we on? I can't remember.
Yeah,
there were so many guest appearances.
The 5th.
The 5th of April. That was us. So, you're welcome.
And Helen and I will be appearing on In Our Time on Friday morning. talking about Byzantine architecture. So
very
that's
nice.
Lovely. Is it Byzantine or Byzantine?
I say Byzantine, but, you know, that might be my accent.
We'll ask Melvin when we get to the studio.
He's so
fine.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Such a lovely man.
So if you want to come and see our live show, it's got Radio 4 jokes in it, hasn't it?
It does have Radio 4
point.
Jokes.
Do Google Brighton Fringe Scummy Mummies, 10th, 11th, 26th of May. I think it's £8.50 or £7 concessions.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, oh, my God, you get so much value.
You see a lot of us.
Yes.
Definite value for money.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jessie.
Did you like the costumes, Jessie, this time?
The costumes were magnificent.
Well, thank you all for listening.
And thank you so much, Nurse Jessie, for being a wonderful guest, as always.
And being tortured.
Yeah, being tortured. So you're full of disgusting chocolate, you're covered in lipstick, and you're drinking an espresso martini.
So we're talking about how we don't punish our children, you just like to punish your friends.
That's right. Are you secretly quite cross with me?
No.
She'll be back.
Yeah, she'll be back for more punishment. She loves it. It's like 50 shades. All right. But thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
This one said, daughter age 7 requested Light Up the Fire as a hymn for Grandpa's cremation.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
That's a trip to Wrong Town.
It's a one-way ticket to Wrong Town. Bloody hell.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.